Okay, this is, I think, a not as much a shmooze as a hashkafa thought. Meaning as follows. We have a Rashi. We're a blatant kasha. And what's interesting is Rashida said one answer, which also Rav Brook said the same answer. And I believe that's the, I think I saw it other places too. And Rav Simcha Zisso in the Chochma Musar said a different answer. So if you ask which one's Mokruch, the answer is, I guess neither. You have two possible answers. So then why are we saying it for? Because they're both Mokruch, because they were both said by Gedolei Olam. So rather, in other words, what's the shmooze is that the, you know, we learn from our Gedolim. So I can't say from the Chazal which answer you like is better. In other words, the problem with the shmooze is that a shmooze which is a zemen the fun is, how could it be? Yes, it could be. That's undeniable. The shmooze is with a question and answer. So there's, very often there can be two answers. This is a classical example of a question-answer shmooze, that there are two different answers. But the hashkafa, it happens, both answers are extremely, extremely important in hashkafa. What's also, I personally found very interesting, is this was one of the few, Baruch Hashem, I'm not sure if, what it means, this is one of the few shmuzim that Rav Shiva made a correction in, meaning that I wrote it a certain way, and then I got a message that I have to change it, which Rav Shiva did not approve of the way I wrote it. I was looking for an earlier Chidush Eilev, and he actually, we changed it in the second printing. We don't have here, and I forgot to bring from my house, a first printing of Chidush Eilev. I assume I have one in my house. It would have been interesting to see the difference, because hashkafically I wasn't so far off. And to see on the dakas of things that the Reshiva was makbid on that he wanted change is also hashkafa. So there are three hashkafas that we can learn here. The Reshiva shmuz hashkafa, the Simcha Zisso shmuz hashkafa, and the hashkafa of why my original version was not right, which it's not written here, but we'll explain it outside. Okay, the Rashi, the question everyone asks is on a Rashi. Rashi says on Pasuk Tesvav, we have to know the Pesukim, that Yaakov Avinu Gade had a Mawah, came to Yaakov and told Yaakov to leave where he is by Lavan and go back to Eretz Yisrael. He made a neder and he should go and fulfill his neder. So he goes ahead and he calls Rachel and Leah and he tells them this whole amazing nevuah he has, and he concludes it by saying that the Malach told me Anochi Akil Beis Kil Shem Hashach V'Sham Hatzeva Shem Nadarti Nisham Neder Ata Kum Semin Oretz Azol Seshuvo Eretz Molad Techa. So he tells Rachel and Leah that he had an explicit nevuah, an explicit slivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he shall leave Lavan's house and go to Eretz Yisrael. So what do they answer? Vatan Rochel Veleya, the Tomar Nelo, Ha'oilanu Chedek V'nachlo B'beis Avinu. Do we have any Chedek in our father's house? Halo Nachrios Nechsham Nelo Kimacharnu. He views us as Nachrios. He sold us. Vayocho Gam Ocho Es Kaspeinu. He ate our money. Kiko Osher Asher Hitzora Kimei Avino Lano Vaneinu. All the money that Hashem gave from our father is ours. Va'ata, and now, or therefore, Ko Asher Amar Kimei Lecha Asei. Therefore, we should do whatever Hashem said. So what does this pasuk mean? So Rashi explains it. It's really Pashup Shah in the pasuk. Ha'oi Lanu Chedek Pasuk Yudawid Lama Na'ake Va'yotcha Miloshuk. Why should we stop you? Klum anu miyachlos yirish miyinichsei avinu klum ben ascharim. Do we have any hope to yarshin anything when our father dies? Obviously, when Yerusha is among the male children. Even when it's normal that a father gives money to his daughters as an adunya, he didn't treat us like daughters. He treated us like foreigners. He sold us to you. Instead of him giving money, he took from you. And he stole from us the money that you worked for him. Whatever we have, whatever we have from our father, whatever Hashem gave us, and therefore we'll go. Right? So basically, they said that there's no reason not to go, because when Lavan dies, we're not going to yarshin anything anyway. So okay, we'll go. So the question is pretty obvious. That Racha Leah Sitkanias, they get it told by Yaakov Avinu that there's an explicit nevuah to leave, to go to Eretz Yisrael. So they should say, Nasa v'nishma. They should say, Hineini. They should say whatever, all the lashon is a tzaddikim, whenever Hashem tells them something. Instead, what do they say? Well, lama not, why not? Is there any reason not to go? And then there's such grubba. I mean, it sounds like, you expect this from someone in the street. Well, when daddy dies, they're already thinking about his daddy. I don't think Lavan was sick or anything. When the old man kicks the bucket, we're not going to get any money. So, why should we stick around here, If there was money to be made, okay, we'll stick around, Got to get the money. But it's such a grubber way of talking. When Lavan dies, who's talking about your father dying? And then, our father's very rich. And when he dies, there'll be a lot of Yerusha. But we're not going to get it anyway, because he doesn't like us. He disinherited us. Right? So the response is pleiadic. What they should have said is, Nasa v'nishma, we'll do it. And instead, they give this grubba answer, you expect from a lowlife on the street. Well, there's no money, there's no reason why not, so okay, we'll do it. No reason why not, because, the old man disinherited us anyway, so when he kicks the bucket, we're not going to make any money. That's basically what they're saying. So, Reshiva asks this kasha, Rav Brook asks this kasha, Rav Simcha Zisso asks this kasha, many people ask the kasha. So the standard answer, which Rav Brook said, Reshiva said, and I believe the other people said it too, is that there's a yisayid called, which is a very important hashkafa, lahakten es anisayid. That we believe a person always has to try. We say in the davening, we ask our kosh bar, lodi de nisayid. Nisayinus are dangerous. So we always have to try to minimize a nisayin. So, of course, if Rachel and Leah, if there was no way, they would have said, if there's no way to minimize a nisayin, they would have gone ahead and said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. But the Maisa, there was a way of minimizing nisayin. In other words, superficially, there was a very big nisayin. Superficially, Yaakov was asking them to leave, to give up all their money, to give up the Yerusha, to give up their inheritance, to give up the relationship with their father. So superficially, it was a very hard Nisayan. So what they did was, they wanted, before they went ahead and said, yes, we'll do it, they first decreased the Nisayan. There's a mashal from the Altar in the Vardic, I don't remember exactly, but it's basically a guy was walking down the street on Shabbos, and he sees a pile of dollar bills, lots of money. And, it's a shayit of muksa, it's a shayit of carrying, but, it's like a lot of money. So he's always on the guy becomes the biggest Rosh Hashiva, the biggest gain. he thinks of all kinds of gvaldika heterim, why he can move it, toto min atzad, pushing with his foot, pachos me arba amos, a double shinui, if he stands on his head, and whatever it is, he figures out a way, in 2 seconds, he figured out a way how he can move it somehow to the corner. Okay. Wow, but this takes about a minute while he figures out this tremendous pilpush here. He's sitting there thinking, and his son jumps out of the bushes. Ha ha, we fooled you, monopoly money. So then he says, when you ask the guy, knew, is it allowed to move it? Say, of course not. So in other words, Kozman, he thought it was $1 million. He had any science. He came up with all kinds of Moira Heters. When you know it's monopoly money, there's no nisayin, so of course you know the truth. So the Alter Navarik said that the problem in life is that the Yetzirah makes us think that things are very difficult nisayinus. So therefore we have rationalizations. And what we have to do is we have to learn, train ourselves not to be fooled by the glitter, by the false glitter of the Yetzirah. So that's exactly what they did here. There was a false glitter. If we stay here, we'll make so much money. We'll get part of the Yerusha, and our father will love us, and he'll invite us to the house, and it'll be so good. We'll have Thanksgiving dinners together. I don't know, whatever it is, you know, it'll be so nice and warm and cozy and friendly and family. But let's come on. Let's be honest. Our father can't stand us. When there's a family, where we have no family connections, there's no Yerusha, there's no nothing, there's nothing here. So then there's no Nisayin. So of course we'll go. Why not? So what they did is La'akdin as Nisayin. It's a very, very important hashkafa. Whether it's mukhra from this chazah or not, but it's a major hashkafa that all the Bawi Musar hold of, and it's a hashkafa that the as soon as you have any saying that the Sipurnu says, that Rishiva must have said this many times, that the Yetzirah's kayach is kayach adimyan. It says Sipurnu in the beginning in Bracious. The Sipurnu has the ability to create mirages. Things are much better than the reality. It's illusions. Optical, everything, all taivas are optical illusions. If every piece of cake is, right, the expression I saw in Rabbi, Rabbi Schaefer, the something isn't as good as the expression? What? The sizzle isn't as good as the steak. Yes. The sizzle is better than the steak. Okay, right. If that's the way it is. The food always looks better until you taste it. It's the way life is. Every taiva is so much better until you actually get to taste it, and then it's over and it's gone. And it's a disappointing. So this is the aside of La'akdin as an aside. Okay. It's a major ashkafa. Okay. How did the person who wrote the original Chidushi Leiv write it wrong? So he wrote that Rachel and Leah had an aside, and they were nervous that maybe, you know, they wouldn't be able to conquer this pastness aside. And therefore, they went ahead and they hacked in Esnisayin. I think that's the way you write it. So Shivagat did not like that at all. You're implying that there was a Havamina, not a Riyadah, but even a Havamina, that Rachel and Leah couldn't pass in Esnisayin. There was even 1 out of 1,000,000 chance that they had to be worried about it, hacked in Esnisayin. That we have to be the Hakdanes on Isayin, okay. But why does Rachel and Leah have to be the Hakdanes on Isayin? Teretz is because in their super level of Sitkis, they were nervous for that one possibility, 1 out of 1,000,000. What, there's a 1 out of 1,000,000 possibility? Chas v'shalom. In the Reshiva's Hashkafa, and those who knew the Reshiva's Hashkafa of that you weren't allowed to chas v'shalom ever imply any pigam in the avos, in the tzaddikim. Unless Chazal say beferish. The expression Rameir Chodesh told us, we used to say in yeshiva, dak min adak. Dake dakis. I'm sorry, we used to say dake dakis. That's what we used to say. So Rameir Chodesh says the expression in Sabaka was dak min adak ad b'ni dak, which means that if you keep on cutting an atom or something, you can keep on cutting it. You cut it in half, and then you take the half, and you cut it again, and you take the half, and you cut it again. But at some point, there's going to be so little left that you can't cut it again, even though really mathematically it's impossible. But see, that that means then that the averis that we find in the Torah are dak min adak abni dak. They are so little that you can't even make it any littler. If you mind the smallest possible particle that can't be made smaller, and that's what it was. So that was Rosh Hashanah, that the others, it, unless it says beferish, you are not allowed to say any, even if it says beferish, you have to explain it, that a dak min adak abni dak. But if it doesn't say beferish, that you should come along and say that the chisarin by the oven. So I wrote in the Chidushi Aleph that there was a possibility that Rachel and Leah wouldn't pass this nisayin. So I said, well, I didn't write, there's a possibility. In their sitkas, they were worried. But why would they be worried unless the possibility exists? So that was, you know, it's the apikorsis. So the new Chidushi Aleph was changed. If you read the way it was changed, it's the newest. And al korcha, the second paragraph. And al korcha, yeshlomer, shefekavanosin, hoiserak, lahakten, esli sayin. The afal pi, jamois, hakadoshis, hoyu, giboris, ruach. The yitrin, ayamaser, biyadim. The ain suffix is not the slightest doubt. Shebechol mikre, hoyu, mikaimis, et sivay, amokon, the simcha rabba. There's not the slightest doubt that they would have passed B'Simcha Rabba Afidim Nisayin Aigadu. So then why are they doing the Hakdanes and Nisayin? Good. Becholzos, nonetheless, Hei Mishtadu the Hakdanes and Nisayin Kedei La'Avdiach. To make it 100% sure, not 99%, Sheyekaimu Es HaMitzvah B'Leiv Shaveh. In other words, if they wouldn't have done this, there was one out of a million chance, not that they wouldn't have done the mitzvah, but they wouldn't have done the mitzvah with a total leiv shonem. There would have been some level, some feeling somewhere buried in their mind of a drop of feeling bad. So in order to make it 100%, right? Really, they would have probably, without this, also done it b'leiv shonem. But in order to make sure that they're doing it b'leiv shonem, therefore they had to do this. I just want to dramatize, because I think it's true. You have to, this is an hashkafa lesson rather than a shmuz lesson. The reshiva is hashkafa of how you have to treat the voice. In other words, I wasn't even allowed to say that there was a one out of a million possibility that they might be nichshol. Wasn't even allowed to say that they wouldn't do it without this. You know, a person's a human being and people have feelings. And without this, on some level, somewhere in the back of their mind, they would feel a drop, a microscopic drop of regret. No. That's also too radical. It's that on their level of sitkis, they wanted to be guaranteed that the one out of the million possibility that maybe they would feel a drop of a daki daki is bad wouldn't exist. Right? That was a typical Rosh Hashiva hashkafa. So what the idea, two very important hashkafas. One is that whenever we have a nisayin, the first thing to do is really the temptation as strong as it is. Is it lahakten es hanisayin? It always looks better. That's a hashkafa. Second hashkafa is time. How are we supposed to treat the others? That they were supposed to treat the others. It's considered, Rosh Hashiva held this was one of the, ikre adas, that we learn our religion, our yisaitis, we learn from Maisa Avis, Simon Abana, we learn Musa from the Avis, and the Avis, Moshe, Aaron, you know, the Tzadikin and Torah, and therefore we have to realize the amazing madrega that they're on, that they have almost, perfection. There's not almost, there's like not a slightest chisaron in them. And any chisaron that we find is dak, and only if Chazal said it's a chisaron. But on your own, you cannot say that it's a chisaron. Okay. That's how the Reshiva learned. Now, it's interesting that the Simchas Iso and Chochmah Musar, Chelek Beis, says something different. Now, I chapped it because he really says something a little bit more, but I took the simple part, the part that I could read. You know, he says a little bit more too, but it's roughly the same idea, but a little, there is something more to it. There is another dimension here too, but we're simplifying it. He said like this, so Adam Sarech Lasos Maisav Koma De Efsher Bipashtus. You should be simple. Shelo ye nigger mi mano kok akshosa dvaran shabik bikdusha bitaira. It has to be hidden. Shouldn't be noticeable that you're acting as a tzaddik. Ad shikadosh. The people will say, woo, look at him, what a tzaddik. Ein zemi darke a chasidus. That's not chasidus to do something which is blatantly chasidus. Rav Zuckerman used to say, it was always one of his favorite piskamas, that if butter smells like butter, it's a sign that it's boiled. I do not know. He said fresh butter has no smell. It says when butter starts to spoil, it smells like butter. So when a chassid smells like a chassid, it means he's spoiled. That's what he used to say. That's not me. That was Rav Zuckerman. So he says, ein zemi darkei chassidus. That a darkei chassidus is you can't see it. Ki milvad inyan shel hatznei leches, besides the inyan of being sinias, I don't know what Zion. Someone help me. Zav. I don't know. But another point. I think it means another point. Besides that, pen yita acherim bezeh sheyirach itzonius yaser meapnimius v'sheker gadahu. Such an amazing hashkafa. He said, if you show your frumkeit. One is it's sneers. You're supposed to hide your frumkeit. But besides the idea of sneers, and the idea of sneers is you shouldn't come to gaiva, right? You don't want to show up. You don't want covid. You want to hide it. Otherwise, there's a problem with gaiva. But there's another problem. Because people will see your chitzonius. And people might think that you're a bigger tzaddik than you are, right? You're davening shmoneh esrei, right? And you're closing your eyes and you're thinking, Shema! Now, you don't really have so much kavana. But someone's going to look at you and say, wow, look at that kavana. Right? So that, he says, is someone will see the chitzonius, which is more than the pnimius, and you're over an iser of sheker. Sheker gomorhu. You just told a lie. Because you can lie with your body language, not just with your actions. So you put on you lied, you told the world, you made a public declaration, I'm a tzaddik, look at me, right? And you're not. It's not. Now, even though you were doing it l'shem shamayim, you were doing it to get the kavana to help you say kriya shma, but the ma'isa, you're causing a conveying, lying communications not only with words, communication is also body language. So you lied. Sheker gadol. It's a big lie. V'sonui b'ein Hashem, and Hashem hates it. Alkein, therefore, to avoid these problems, the two problems, sneis, you shouldn't come to gaiva, and you shouldn't be over sheker. Koma sheyucho adam lasos v'daber b'chitzonius v'pashtus. You should act like a simple Jew. B'li hisroi sitkus v'chasidus. Without showing your sitkas, bevar mechitzayim, without showing in your external, you know, without waving your hands or whatever, without tov yotzer v'karav emes. That's better and it's more truthful. V'zeh mamish ha-moshu m'kli yoker shashimish mekuko. He said before ha-moshu, if you have something valuable, you keep it in the safe. You don't put it out. You don't use a gold something. You use it for everyday using because it gets ruined. You know, you want to keep it hidden.
Hadibur v'amaisa nira la'odam, when the more it's noticeable, mekalkar pnimius, it ruins the internal, the pnimius of it. V'alkein haster davar l'Hashem, okay, you're supposed to hide with to Hashem. V'yaso yidaber komad esher b'pshuto, you should talk midi Yiddish? Almadik. Okay, you should talk like a Alma. Alma is the world. Nochen yaiser. That's by Yaakov, the way he brought that Yaakov also spoke in a certain way language. Kihu v'gam rochel v'lei b'tshuvosim, and that's our Rashi. Rochel and they responded to Yaakov when they answered back. That's right here. Dibru b'pshuto midi da'almadik kilovin, and I didn't photocopy the next page, but it's basically continues. Right, I got a complaint. I'm not a good photocopier. But the Maisa, that's what, so his answer is a completely different answer, right? It's interesting, very interesting. Rabruk and Rashiva's answer was, that's the negative of problem of a shmooze with a question answer. The question is, why did Rachel and Leah talk this way and not say straight that they'll do it in Shem Shemayim? So it's a question. A question, you never know what the answer is. You know, that's why question-answer shmuzim are usually not 100% mukhruch. And if we can avoid those kind of shmuzim, we do. But even though I say those kind of shmuzim too, and everyone does, but they're not the, perfect shmuzim, because you can always, you come up with an answer, and you can't, but someone else will think of a different answer. So the question was, why did they talk this way? Why didn't they say straight what they meant? The real reason, we know for sure the real reason, is because the Shem Shemayim. So why didn't they say the Shem Shemayim? So the Rashiva and Rav Brook said, La'akdines and Isayim, they were talking to themselves. They were trying to point out, they were speaking out to themselves that don't take the, it's not as big as an Isayim as it looks. Why? So that they can do the mitzvah b'leiv shalem and betodo simcha, betodo islavas. That was Rashiva's answer. Simcha Zisa says they weren't talking to themselves, they were talking for the audience. Oh, really? We are doing sitkas. We are ready to forget about the money. Oh, but you think it's sitkas? Nah, it's not sitkas. I'm not a tzaddik. Yeah, for the money, maybe I would go if there was money involved. But there's no money. It's no big deal. It's no big nisayin. There's no big deal. If it was a hard nisayin, I don't know. Maybe I'm not such a tzaddik. I don't know if I would go. I don't know. You know, because they're trying to belittle themselves in front of other people because of sneas. It's a whole different hashkafa. It's amazing. The ma'aseh, we hold to both hashkafas. Both hashkafas are very basic. To the yeshiva, to the musar, we hold of the hashkafa of the haktanes and hisayin. That is how you fight a yetzahara. Anytime you have a yetzahara, it's almost a psik resha that the taiva is greater than reality, and you have to stop and think that it's all a mirage. And we hold of this hashkafa too. This is a major. This Rav Simcha Zisa was the Alter's Rebbe. Obviously, the Alter held of it. As we know, it's in his Sefer, in his Shmuzim, or it's often, and that's as Yeshiva held it, that if you're doing a mitzvah and you can go ahead and make it less noticeable, you can go ahead and downplay it. I'm saying you go to a simcha, and of course, you go to a wedding, and you want to learn at the wedding, you don't want to battle. But you don't sit at the wedding. It depends on the situation. If other people are doing it, then it's fine. But if you're only one, you're sitting at the table and everyone else is talking, you don't take out your notes from your pocket, your photocopy notes, and start sitting there and learning. Rather, what are you supposed to do? I gotta learn. So you go find a side room. You walk, you know. Now, if everyone else is doing that on your table, that's fine. Other people are doing it. Sometimes some weddings you do have everyone doing it, and then it's fine. But if you're in a place where, you know, I was at a wedding where I was singing Rabbi Harris and Rabbi Grumblatt, and they, you know, they were, and then there was one person pulled out. I thought it was such chutzpah. He's learning. You know, excuse me. You want to learn? Go. This is a big hall. There's plenty of rooms, empty rooms in the wedding hall. There was a room, the chasen tish room, and the room where the chuppah was. I'm not telling you to battle, but don't have to stand in front of, you know, in front of everyone. Look at me. I'm learning. They're not. Right? You know, if you can, Rashiva would say, no, that's even, during Bein HaSfarim, I remember asking Rashiva, Rashiva said, you should learn the Beis Medrash, because Beis Medrash is more conducive for learning. We're not telling you to battle. If it's much more conducive to learn, you'll learn more. So, of course, you should stay in there. You have to learn the Beis Medrash, even if it's before Hesya. Okay? But when it's not necessary, this was a basic hashkafa, when you don't have to show off your sitkas, we try and not show off our sitkas. And this is what Rav Simcha Zisel says, it's a shaita of snias, and it's a shaita of sheker. Person who walks and people look at him and they think, woo, look at that tzaddik. Wow, he looks really chashuv. That, he says, it's a shaita of a shaita in the Bawi Musar. Obviously, not everyone agreed with this hashkafa, but the Bawi Musar held it's a shaita that it's sheker and it's sonui b'ene Hashem. Those are fighting words. Those are not dake dakis words. They are very strong words. It's a shaita sheker and it's sonui. It's hated in the Ene Hashem. And therefore a person should always try, assuming it's not going to minimize his level of sitkas, to try and do his sitkas in a hidden way.